If we can just, Ann may have pointed this out, but just want to clarify an announcement or two. This is the first time in about 30 trips we have canceled a trip to Haiti. And it was sort of out of our control. We had a lot of pharmacy students that were going, and they were going to get credit for what they did. And it turns out it's the week of Carnival, a lot of partying and that sort of activity, and all the schools are shut down. And so the students simply would not be able to fulfill their requirements, so we called the trip. It's still in your bulletin. There will be many other trips, but that particular one has been called. Also, I'm sure Ann said something about this, but we'd love for you to join us on our studies on Wednesday. If the Lord opens the door and there's no snow in the way, we'd love to have you come and join us. Want to read one verse of Scripture from our continuing study of Colossians. It's a passage that warns us. You know, when Paul was writing his epistles, as we've indicated many times, he didn't divide up his writings in verses or chapters. It was just sort of a flowing letter. And he was generally addressing particular issues that the church was facing. There might have been controversies, there might have been heresies, there may have been other kind of temptations or division in the life of the church. And so most of his epistles are addressing particular issues like that. And the Colossian church was no different. There were issues that they were facing. And so he's raising a warning. He wants them to be alert. He wants them to be wide awake. He wants them to be sensitive as to some of the things that may come their way. This is Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. We invite you to stand as we read God's word. One verse, but a very important one. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. This is God's word for God's people. You may be seated. You know, I don't know if it was some of you teenagers that did this, but this really happened. There were several young people who stood on an intersection where there were sidewalks, a lot of traffic going on the sidewalks there. And these young people wanted to sort of fool many of the traffickers. So they go out in clear hearing of everybody, and they're speaking really loud. And one of them goes out, you know, and people are going back and forth on the sidewalk and said, "Wow, would you look at that? That looks like so-and-so. And another guy says, no, you got to be wrong. That's not that." And so they're debating back and forth. There's nothing up there. But, you know, they're doing this number. And pretty soon people start stopping, and they start gathering. And, you know, there's a half a dozen, and there's a dozen, and there's a dozen and a half. As the crowd grows, the young people that caused all this ruckus basically back off and lean against the building, just sort of watching what's going to happen. 5 minutes pass, 10 minutes pass, 15 minutes pass, 20 minutes pass. There's still people up looking at the sky wondering what was there. Nothing. Oh, were you the one that did that?
No.
the point is, it's very easy to fool people. And it's very easy to be fooled. And let me give you two examples of when we become so gullible and vulnerable to being fooled. One is, we are relational people. And if my relationships are tattered, whether it's in family or friendship, I don't have many friends, you know, in other words, I don't have strong ties in relationships. I am very vulnerable because I want to relate to people. I mean, God made me that way. I've got to relate. Some of you went crazy over the snow that came. The first day, you went crazy because you were so excited. By the third day, you were just trying to break down the doors and windows and get out of there. Can you imagine being in solitary confinement for literally years? I mean, we don't do well with that. We've got to relate to people. And so if my relationships are tattered, it's just like what Marcia is talking about, eagle's wings. It's not just the danger of human trafficking. It's the danger of getting into all kind of other goofy stuff. And so I desperately need, as a human being, strong relationships. We were wired that way. The second thing is, if I don't know what I believe, if I don't know what my core values are, I'm also very gullible to what may come along. Because we have a yearning to root ourselves into something that gives me significance in life. And so if I don't have that, whatever wind blows, whatever comes my way, I'm going to be very open. And you see, Paul is very much aware of that. He's aware of the vulnerability of these new Christians in the town of Colossae. So he's in this one verse, he raises several characteristics of false teaching, heresy, whatever you want to call it. So I want to go over this really quickly, and then I want to give you some steps that we can take. The first thing he talks about is deceptive teaching, the danger of deception. You know, what makes something deceptive is it looks right, it sounds right, it's appealing, it's attractive, everything seems to be in order. But guess what? It's an angel of light. Any of you remember the Moonies, Unification Church? Reverend Sun Young Moon came from Korea. The Koreans branded him as worse than Satan. I want to give you just one testimony of somebody got involved. His name was Christopher Edwards. He was a Yale graduate. I mean, one of our best Ivy League school, Yale graduate. He wanted to get a master's, so he went over to Berkeley. And while he was at Berkeley doing his graduate work, somebody approached him and said, "Hey, we're going to have a big blast, a fun time out at a farm near here, and love for you to come join us." And, you know, he doesn't have any friends. This is a new place. Why not? So he goes, and lo and behold, it was put on by the Unification Church. And what ended up being what he thought was going to weekend was 7.5 months. And in his own words, he says this about his experience, or what happened to him as he submitted himself to the teaching of Sun Young Moon. "He became dependent on his leaders for every move, ready and willing to die or even kill to restore the world under the absolute rule of Reverend Moon." After he had been in this cult for 7.5 months, his dad kidnapped him out. It took a whole year of people who understood cults to deprogram him. Because you see, when you get into a group like this, you're rewiring your thinking, your values, your worldview, and everything. And he eventually wrote a book about his experience. There's an interesting spider called the Portia spider. The Portia spider likes to eat other spiders. Not you, but other spiders. The Portia spider looks like a piece of dried up leaf. And what it'll do is it'll climb up on a spider's web, and then it would gently vibrate the web as if a mosquito has been caught in the web. And of course, the host spider comes out anticipating a meal, not realizing he's going to be the meal. This Portia spider is incredible in being able to adapt itself to almost any kind of spider, adapting mating calls and all these other things to where these spiders become deceived and gullible and then are devoured. Its primary weapon is deception. And see, Paul is saying, oh, this stuff is real. This is not a game. We aren't talking about fun times, entertainments, and pleasure. This is deceptive. It's powerful stuff. Another word that he uses is what we might call humanistic. His expression is human tradition. Let me read it out of another translation. "Don't let anyone fool you by using senseless arguments. These arguments may sound wise, but they're only human teachings." You know, now and then, there'll be a big splash in the news saying, "We found an ancient manuscript. And we think this really illuminates the gospel or the person of Jesus." And so, you know, so-called scholars kind of repackage it for popular consumption. And basically, it's a repackaging of an old heresy. And so Paul is saying, look, if it doesn't have roots in Scripture, if it doesn't come from the one who is truth, you need to be very careful. You know, it's somebody who has dreamed of this. Another word that Paul doesn't use this word, but he's alluding to it, is demonic origins. He uses the expression, the basic principles of this world. Other translations give you an understanding of what Paul means by the basic principles of this world. It has demonic origins. And many people in Paul's day believe that the spirit of the air, or these demonic spirits, had control over celestial bodies. Guess what? In the 21st century, you can open the newspaper, and there's the astrology column. Things haven't changed a whole lot, have they? And in another place, Paul warns, this is 1 Timothy 4, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Another word that Paul uses is captive or enslaving. Paul is saying this kind of teaching will captivate you. It will capture you. The word that's being used is of a slave dealer. You know, you're going to be caught. You're going to be enslaved. A few years ago, this was front page newspaper, the police in California went to a mansion and they found 39 bodies draped in black and purple that had committed suicide. They were part of the Celestial Gate. I don't know if you remember that. They believed that this spaceship, they believed there was a spaceship right behind a comet that was going by the world, by planet Earth, and that when they committed suicide, their souls would be sucked up into this spaceship and they would go on and live forever. Now, you know, you hear that kind of thing and you think, man, who in this world would leave their family, leave their jobs, leave their communities, even in some cases leave their church and join such a cult and do that? Well, again, let me give you a testimony of a university student at the University of Wisconsin. This is what he said, the reason he entertained it. He didn't actually join, thank God. He didn't commit suicide, but he got all their slick videos of their beliefs and their prophecies and so on. And he said this, at that time in my life, I decided I needed something to grasp onto. You know, we don't like to be anchorless. We want a foundation. We want something on which we can stand. We want something that makes sense of our existence. And you know, if you don't have any kind of belief system and you don't know why you're here and where you're headed, it becomes very appealing. So what do we do? How can we respond to this kind of stuff? Well, Paul's appeal is, I want you to be alert. I want you to be wide-eyed. I want you to know that this kind of stuff comes and it's going to capture you. It's going to enslave you. It's very deceptive. It's very real stuff. So what can we do? Well, let's go to the Boy Scouts for help. One of the merit badges I love being a part of is, and Philip will remember this, the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge. One of the things that we love to do in Wilderness Survival Merit Badge is the scouts have to go out with nothing and create their own shelter and sleep in it. Now, I want to tell you, back in the woods here, I've seen some wild and goofy things. Some of the shelters were very creative, and I would have enjoyed bedding down and sleeping the night. But other things, you know, it looked like a pile of leaves. The guys would jump in hoping, you know, that was going to secure them for the night or whatever. Anyway, in Wilderness Survival, we teach the scouts what to do if you get lost. And we use an acronym that applies to the dangers of spiritual deception, emotional and mental confusion. The acronym, or in an acronym, each letter represents an idea or a word. And the acronym is STOP. John, do you remember this? Oh, you're the guy that got lost. I'm just kidding. Anyway, the first word for the letter S is stop. You know, if you're lost and the sun is going down and it's getting colder and your belly is getting hungry, you go into a panic mode, right? And you just start running. You aren't really sure if you're running away from your group or toward your group. You just got to do something. I mean, you're in a panic mode. You're anxious. You got to just do something. And so the very first thing, if you're lost, is just stop. Settle down. And, you know, if we get confused by some of these ideas that come along, if somebody's approaching us about a group we've never heard of, and you know, the same thing applies, by the way, to the rise of gangs. You know, a police officer was telling me that they're having to go through training on witchcraft, black magic, and Satanism because some of the rites of initiation are actually part of Satanism. I mean, there's some really goofy stuff out there, and there are a lot of gangs out there. And so this stuff really applies right now to our communities and what we're going through. The first thing you do is you stop. You know, you collect yourself. You relax. Get your bearings. Get out of the panic mode. When I was in college, my grandfather gave me a verse that was very meaningful to me. And in this verse in the book of Acts, the writer is likening two groups of people from two different towns. This is Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. It really didn't matter whether Paul claimed to be an apostle or not. They were going to check it out. And see, that's what you do. You stop. You take stock. You know, get over the rush. Get over the adrenaline. Get over the anxiety. Get over the pressure. Get over the stress. And just stop. The second word that comes from the word T is think. Think. You know, think about it. Several years ago, there was a rash of Confederate bills floating around the country. And so there was a two-week conference held for bank tellers so that they could better spot these counterfeit bills. And for 2 weeks, we're talking about hour upon hour, day upon day, for 2 weeks, they didn't see one counterfeit bill. They were not even told what counterfeit bills would look like. They spent two solid weeks studying the real thing. You know, that's what we have to do, don't we? And we better make sure that we know the truth. We better make sure we know the plumb line. We better know sure that, you know, we're well acquainted with the real deal. Back in the 70s, and I don't know if any of you heard of this group, I met some of the leaders, actually. It was called the Children of God. And they came out of the Jesus movement in California. There were a lot of young people coming out of drugs and all this kind of stuff. And anytime there's a revival, sometimes you get these splinter groups. And this particular group was called the Children of God. And the reason it was very appealing to young folks is they were saying, you know, we want to take Jesus seriously. We want to take discipleship seriously. Many of the churches around us are dead or dying. We want to have a passion for Jesus. They had a key verse. And you know, anytime a group has a key verse, you want to understand if they see it in context, if they see it in balance. But this was a key verse. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That was a key verse. And so they would tell the people they're recruiting, you want to cut all ties with your family. You want to cut all your ties with any former church or group that you were part of. We're going to start fresh. We're going to be sold out to Jesus. Well, as you may know, my parents were missionaries in the 80s in Bangladesh, and they met up with them in Bangladesh. But they really got off beat. I mean, they got off into the immorality. I mean, it was just really crazy stuff. But you know, when you start off, even if you're just one degree off, it doesn't look like much. But you know, if a plane flies 5,000 miles one degree off, it is way off. And many times that's what happens. There's a seed of disintegration at the inception of the group. And that's what happened in the Children of God. I tell you, when I met some of the leaders in Atlanta and then Mobile, Alabama, they made good sense. I thought, man, this is really good stuff. But they kept coming back to this passage, cut all ties. I thought, you know, that's why we call groups fringe groups. You know, they've cut themselves off from everybody. The next word from the acronym STOP is the word O. This is where we observe. You know, you want to observe your surroundings. If you're lost, if you're a scout and you're lost, you want to see, is there a place I could take shelter? Is there stuff I can make a fire with? Do I have any water? Do I have any food that I can cook? What are the potential dangers? You know, you're observing. And you know, this is where we want to observe groups. What are they saying and what are they not saying? Does their lifestyle and their character match up to what they're teaching? Any of you remember of Jim Jones and the Jonestown suicide? That was just a terrible, terrible thing. You know, to see 800 to 900 corpses, people that had taken Kool-Aid. The same year that happened, I'm not going to tell you what school. There's a school in our county, and the band leader was Mr. Jones. And when he was teaching the band, Lydia folks were telling me, he would serve them Kool-Aid in the summer. You know, it got hot. And so Diane Easter would pick up a whole carload of folks to go band practice, and she would tell them, don't drink any of the Kool-Aid. But, you know, if you study, Jim Jones began as a pastor in California, a very popular pastor. You know, all the politicians wanted to get pictures with him, you know, and he was a community activist and all this kind of thing. But after a while, you watched his life. It was making bizarre directions. I mean, it was really getting off beat, morally, legally, and other kind of things. If you hadn't, see, the problem is when you're immersed in something, you start rationalizing things that you can't quite understand. You justify. And, you know, that's why stop is so important. That's why you want to stop, you want to think, and you want to observe. Do you remember Waco, Texas? Ring some bells. Branch Davidian, David Koresh. Now, initially, it sounded like a renewal movement in Seventh-day Adventist or something like that? It sounded like really good stuff. They were revisiting things that had been neglected and so on. But if you studied David Koresh's life and listened to what he said and what he didn't say and the way he was conducting himself, you know, you started seeing red flags. And so we have to observe. The last thing that we would suggest here is plan. This is what we teach the Boy Scouts. Okay, you've stopped, you've thought, you've observed. Now you want to execute a plan of action. You want to come up with a plan to get yourself out of this situation. What I want to suggest to you is a preventive plan so that we don't ever find ourselves in this condition. We don't ever lose our moorings, our spiritual moorings, our mental moorings, our emotional moorings. So the first thing that I would say in a preventive way is we need to be students, diligent students, regular, consistent students of the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. The Bible is the truth about the truth. And, you know, if I'm just sort of a casual, passive student of Scripture, I'm going to be very gullible to stuff that comes along. You know, I need to know the real stuff. I need to understand the plumb line. A number of years ago, Morris Galloway recommended a book to the officers. It was called The Cruelty of Heresy. You know, heresy is dangerous. It's not just a mind game. It can destroy your life. Again, at the Lydia Church, one person was talking about an individual they knew that got involved in a group and they committed suicide. I mean, there's serious repercussions to this. And so we want to know the truth. We want to understand the truth. We want to appreciate the truth. You know, sometimes in church life, there are fads that come along. We wouldn't call them heresy, but they're fads. You know, they come, and after a while, they're gone. It's a point of emphasis that somebody makes, and it seems to be really interesting for a while. But, you know, sometimes you may think, you know, it's a little out of balance. And I could give you a number of examples. I'm not going to take the time to do that. But even those... And I'm actually thinking of a Bethany person or two that got involved in something a number of years ago. And they got so burned by this. It was truth out of balance. They got so burned by this, they wanted to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And sometimes that happens. And you know, that's why we have to be students of the truth. The second thing that we need to do is we need to maintain fellowship. We need to maintain fellowship. You know, when you stay connected in worship and Bible study and prayer, it's a way you kind of realign your spiritual magnet. You know, sometimes you run into all kind of magnetic fields and your magnet may not have true north anymore. And so when you reconnect with people with the same values and the same truth, it's like kind of realigning your spiritual magnet. You know, we had, I guess they called it, two storms that passed through. The first storm... I was just watching, you know, this big, fluffy, juicy, damp snowflakes. And they would land on the trees, and they wouldn't fall off the limbs. You know, and it was just like a winter wonderland. You looked out there, and these trees were loaded with beautiful, white snow. But as it got loaded more, and they started drooping a little bit, I thought, oh, my goodness, if this stuff turns to freezing rain, this is no longer going to be a beautiful game out here. This is going to be really bad stuff. And as you know, what happened? Well, you know, as I looked out there, there were some individual trees that the limbs would lean way down and some would snap. But when trees were together, they had the same amount of snow, same stuff coming down on them, and their limbs would lean, but they would lean on each other. And you know, the same thing happened spiritually. We don't do too well as lone rangers. We don't do too well on our own. We need each other. Paul sees what's happening. He sees the potential danger, and he wants to make sure the Christians in Colossae are wide awake to the potential. We need, same stuff's happening around us, folks. The consequences are just as serious. We need to be alert. We need to stop. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you not only give us the truth, you caution us about untruth and its consequences. And Lord, some of this stuff may not impact us personally, but many of us know people whose lives have shipwrecked because they got off course. And it began with ideas. It began with a way of thinking, a different value system. So Lord, help us to be watchful, help us to be alert, and help us to sound the warning if we see people in potential danger. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond to the Lord with our gifts and his tithes.